Welcome to the Landmark Podcast. I'm Jason Calhoun, pastor of Landmark Pentecostal Church in Texarkana, Texas. We encourage you to visit us on the web at landmarkupc.net for a schedule of services and upcoming events. We pray that you are blessed by the message today. Thank you again for listening. To the Gospel of Luke. The Gospel of Luke, chapter number 4. I want to read a few verses of Scripture here. Beginning with verse 30. Luke, chapter number 4, and verse 30. How many come to receive something from the Lord today? Praise God. Amen. I believe that the Lord is interested in giving to us what we need, but there is one requirement, and that is that we must pursue it, we must be hungry for it, we must desire it. Praise God. Luke chapter number 4 and verse 30. But he, passing through the midst of them, went his way and came down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and taught them on the Sabbath days. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with power. And in the synagogue there was a man which had a spirit of an unclean devil, and cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God." The Bible says that he came to this synagogue, had taught them maybe more than once here on the Sabbath days. And there was one that cried out. And he said in verse 34, "Let us alone. What have we to do with thee?" And I want to preach this morning with the Lord's help, a proper response. A proper response. You know how we respond to the things of God is very, very important. And we know that opportunities can be so fleeting and so limited and really unpredictable. I've seen people that said, "Well, I'm not going to choose to live for God today or commit or give my life to the Lord right now, but I'm going to wait until, as Felix in the scripture, a more convenient season comes." And that season never does take place. It never happens for them. They never feel the same thing that they felt. They never get the same opportunity that they had. And it just slips them by. And so I think it's important that we realize that when the opportunity avails itself in the things of God, whether it be for us as saints of God to receive something that the Lord wants to do for us on a spiritual level in our own walk with God, or it be for the person that does not know the Lord that is receiving an opportunity to make entrance into the kingdom of God, whatever the case is, it is crucial that we make the proper choice and respond in the proper way. Can you say amen to that? A proper response, a proper response. Let's lift up our voices to the Lord and let's pray for the Lord God of heaven to help us today. We need the strength, the anointing, and the power of God in the remainder of this service. Jesus, we look to you once again. We're praying, God, for your help. We're asking, God, for the strength that only you can give. Pray that you would move upon the hearts. You would reach where I cannot reach. You would touch where I cannot touch the hearts of people. I pray that you would move upon the minds, and I pray that some way you would arrest our spirits for the next few moments and help us, God, to respond in an appropriate way. In Jesus' name we pray, And would you clap your hands to the Lord one more time? Praise God, praise God. Thank you for standing, and you may be seated. This incident that I read about in the scripture occurred in the city of Capernaum in their synagogue. And we know that many times these villages, depending upon their size, they would have maybe a synagogue or maybe perhaps even more than one synagogue. And that was the people of that community could come and they could worship there. That was the contact point for those people in that particular area. It was preceded, this passage that I read to you, by a very disturbing event that had happened only 1 week before in Jesus' hometown, in his very own synagogue that he was raised in Nazareth. He had gone to this hometown synagogue, and the custom was that a passage of Scripture would be read. And he stood up for his turn to read, and he read with such authority and with such power the words of Isaiah that was prophesying about the coming of the Messiah. And he read it with such feeling, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, and he hath anointed me." And when he finished reading and he sat down, the Bible makes this declaration. It says, "The eyes of everyone that was in that synagogue, their attention, their focus was upon him. And he declared to them," he said, "this day is this scripture fulfilled in your hearing." And there was a little clamor that was going through the audience because they were having a difficult time in their mind reconciling how that this carpenter's son that they had watched grow up could possibly be the Messiah that he was proclaiming to be. Then he continued speaking these words to them. He said, "I tell you of a truth, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elijah, but unto none of them was Elijah sent, save unto Sarepta, a city of Sidon. And there were many lepers in Israel at the time of Elias the prophet, and none of them were cleansed, saving Naaman the Syrian." And these words that Jesus spoke so enraged these people. Indignation filled their heart. And the Bible says that they were so furious that they rose up and thrust him not only out of the synagogue, but they went so far as to thrust him out of the city. And actually they led him to the brow of a hill that their city was built upon, that they might cast him down, the Bible says, headlong. But nobody could hold him. Nobody could incarcerate him. Nobody could physically ascertain him if he did not desire them to do so. And so the scripture says that he, passing through the midst of them, went his way. And those are very astonishing verses to me, that he, passing through the midst of them, went his way, as if to say, if you don't desire, if there's any place that I wanted to move, if there's any place that I wanted to bring my miracle working power, if there is any church that I would want to see and experience and have revival and their needs met, it would certainly be this church and this group of people, because he was so intimately connected to that group of people, having been raised in that village. He knew those folks. He knew what their needs were. He knew the challenges that existed. He knew the person that was crippled in that audience. He knew the person that had been suffering from sickness for a long, long time. He knew the one that had been struggling with emotional or mental problems that was in that congregation. And this was the opportune time for him to show them who the Messiah really was. and to display his miracle-working power. And they shut the door in his face, in essence. And he, passing through the midst of them, went his way as if to say, if you don't want it, I'm going to find somebody else that will. And he traveled to a different place, in a different village, and I'll get to that in a moment. But as I begin to look over this story and what happened there in Nazareth, I thought, what was it that infuriated them? What was it that he said that caused them to respond this way? What was it that made them so angry? And there was nothing that I could find other than their Jewish pride. They had such confidence in their genealogy and their background. They did not want to hear that their ancestry and their lineage and the parents and grandparents that they had came from was not enough to save them. Because if you know anything about the Jewish people, you know that they take pride in their genealogy. Matter of fact, as you're reading through the Old Testament, you can see signs of this. Many of you get there and you just about go cross-eyed when you see all those begets and all those funny names and all those children and genealogies that are listed there. But in the Jewish mind, that is a very significant thing, because their salvation, they felt like, was because of their bloodline. They felt like because of their genealogy and who they were, that they were just because of that a part of God's people. And they were exclusively a part of the people that God would save. And no matter how disobedient they were, no matter how rebellious they were, no matter how far they went, that God would always show his mercy, would always show his kindness to them, because after all, these were his chosen people, and they took such pride in that. What they did not realize is it takes a little more than just being identified with an ancestry. It takes a little more than just having the right genealogy and lineage to look up to. And could I say for us today, it takes a little more than just church affiliation and saying that I am a Pentecostal and having the label of an apostolic. It takes a little more than just being identified with a certain group of people or a church that hangs a certain shingle on its sign. It really does take a relationship with God. I said it really does take an experience with God. And how many knows that we in Pentecost knows what that experience is? It's more than just catechism and going through the motions of learning church doctrines and dogma and tradition. But each of us here that have the power of the Holy Ghost, we have an experience in God. And that's what keeps us. That's what is alive within us. Aren't you thankful that you got the power? Oh, did you hear me? That you got the power of the Holy Ghost. That you have a living God on the inside of you. And it says that in him we live, in him we dwell, and in him we have our being. He's alive in me. He directs me. He guides me. Amen. He shows me the way. They that are led of the Spirit, they are the sons of God. That's how you get in the bride. It's not by it just being passed down from generation to generation. It's not because you can look up to grandpa so-and-so or you got a great-grandfather that had certain blood flowing through his veins. But aren't you thankful that the door of the church is open to whosoever will? And if you have this experience and you've been born again, yeah, that's how you become a part of the church. You're born into the church. You're born again into the church. Amen. You're baptized in the name of Jesus and you're filled with the power of the Holy Ghost. And it doesn't matter where you came from, what your last name is, what your pedigree is. Amen. But you could be a part of the bride of Christ simply by being born again. Oh, we ought to clap our hands and praise the Lord and give him a little thanksgiving here today. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. And so they took issue with this. when he said there was not many widows in Israel, or there was many widows rather in Israel, but none of them received Elijah. And he went elsewhere and he found somebody that wasn't even a part of the bloodline, that didn't have any covenants or promises. They were aliens to the commonwealth of Israel. And he did a work for them. And there were many lepers in Israel, but none of them were cleansed. They all had desperate need. But there was one, the Syrian general by the name of Naaman, another fella that was outside the covenant, that was not a part of the genealogy, that was not a part of the family, if you want to say it that way. But the Lord reached down and healed him. The truth of what he was saying was this, is what you had in the past and what your parents were and what your grandparents was. It does not guarantee the blessings. It does not guarantee the favor. It does not guarantee the goodness of God. And the blessings of the Lord upon your life. You cannot make it on someone else's experience, but you've got to have your own relationship. You've got to have your own experience with God. Amen. You can't depend on a praying mother or a praying father. You can't rely and lean upon family members that are really in touch with God. But you've got to have this experience for yourself. I want to tell you that it is a blessing to have praying folks in your family. It is a blessing, and many of us are here because of that. Amen. Many of us are here because there were people that took upon them the burden to pray for us, and they carried that burden sometimes for very many years and continued to pray and continued to fast and continued to hold us up before the Lord, and we're here because of that. But somewhere along the way, you have to develop your own relationship with God. You have to get your own experience in the Lord. You can't rely upon that. That cannot be passed down to you. I don't care how connected your mother is with God. I don't care how connected your father is with God. I don't care how much your grandfather prays or grandmother prays. They cannot hand out a relationship with God to you. You have to dig that out yourself. You have to come to the revelation of truth yourself. You have to fall in love with Jesus yourself. You have to become a part of this on your own. So they were very upset. They were angry because they had thought that their relationship with God was based upon their bloodline. It was based upon the fact that they were Hebrews. It was based on past covenants and past consecrations and rituals, past sacrifices and promises made to generations before them. They had forgotten that the God that they served was a right now God. That the God that they served was interested in developing a relationship with them at that moment. God's question for us today is not what we were or how we used to pray or what we used to be or how in tune with God that we once was, how sensitive in years past we used to be, how close to God I used to be. That was a time when I was really praying, or that was the time when I was really drawing close to the Lord. If your testimonies of God have to go back 20 years ago, you need to get some up-to-date testimonies and experiences in God and memorials in God, and quit having to reach back 20 years ago and get something now, because God is still alive now. God is still able now. If he's ever healed, he's able to heal now. If he's ever delivered, he's able to deliver now. If he's ever answered prayer, he's able to answer prayer now. Come on, does somebody hear me preach this morning? If God was able to give revival to Landmark Pentecostal Church, he's just as able now. Let's stop looking back 20 years ago. What do you say we stop looking back 30 years ago and say it thus and so and remember when and start saying, God, do it again. Revive us again in the midst of our years. Answer another prayer for me. Reveal yourself another time. Give me yet another testimony. I believe you're able to do it for me now. Is anybody hungry? Does anybody desire that? Does anybody have some prayers that you want God to answer now? Does anybody want to work in your life in the present? Does anybody need God to move in a situation right here this morning? Does anybody need a miracle in this house today? Why don't you reach out to it? Why don't you call on it? Why don't you lift up your voice to it? Why don't you praise him like you used to praise him? Why don't you worship him like you used to worship him? Why don't you pray and cry and get desperate before him? You see, right there often is the problem. Often that's the problem. Amen. We used to do things that caused God to respond to us. And I have a feeling if we'd get back to those things, that we'd find out that God's not dead. Amen. That God hasn't diminished. That God is still able. That God still will. That God still can. And we're not waiting on him, but he's waiting on us. We're just not as hungry as we used to be. We don't have the appetite for it that we used to have. We don't have the desire and the passion that we used to have. But if somebody gets sick of just getting by, if somebody ever gets restless with the routine and the norm and the mundane, it says, God, I need something new. I need something fresh. You'll find that he's not too far away, that he's still able, that he still can, and that he will move in your life. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Everywhere Jesus went, he stirred them up. His ministry demanded a response. He refused to allow them just to sit there in their pride and their religious arrogance and just depend and rely upon ancient rituals and past covenants and lose their souls. But he confronted that spirit. He said, if he needs to, he'll go down to Syria and he'll find a general that doesn't even know who he is, that's a pagan, that's never once prayed to him, and he'll find hunger there, and he'll cleanse him of his leprosy. If he has to go out onto the coast and a place that is unfamiliar and where the heathen lives to find a widow that is in need, that's what he'll do. But he responds to hunger. He responds to desire. Amen. I don't want to let him leave me sitting in my traditional environment, in my comfort zone, unhealed, undelivered, unblessed, unanointed, unfavored. But God, I want you to stir me up if need be. I want you to move on me. I want you to shake and stir my soul. There's some of you right here in this room. You need God to take you in his hand, and you need God to shake you seven ways from Sunday. Because if he doesn't, I'm afraid some of you are not going to be saved. You sit there in your bitterness. You sit there in your foul spirit. You sit there in your judgmental attitude. You sit there so long that you've justified yourself. But I'm going to preach to you today that if you want revival, it's not going to happen with the same old, same old. If you want God to move, it's not going to happen, amen, with your usual routine. If you want God to hear you, you're not going to get there with an attitude and a puffed up spirit and an arrogant attitude of pride. But you got to say, God, I go back to worshiping you like I used to worship you. I go back to praising you like I used to praise you. Amen. Before you bless me, I didn't care what Sister So-and-so thought about me. I didn't care what anybody else said. I was willing to dance. I was willing to run. I was willing to shout. I was willing to raise my voice. I was willing to lift my hands to God. I was unashamed of you because you're the only thing that I had. what the spirit that's killing Pentecost in the last days is? Is now we don't live across the tracks. Now, thank God. Now we don't sit on slatted benches. Now we don't fight the mosquitoes off when we come to church. Now people don't pass out because of the fumes of lanterns and gas lighting. Amen. Now we don't go home with sawdust all over our suits. Now you don't go home with snagged clothing because of the nails that come up through the benches and the seats. Amen. You know what I'm talking about? We don't go home now, amen, driving a carriage or an old jalopy. Most of us are going to get into comfortable automobiles when we go home today. But if we're not careful in all of our advancements and all of our going forward, which I'm thankful and feel very blessed to have, and all of that, we'll leave behind, with leaving behind the sawdust floors and the brush harbor and leaving behind the lantern and the old flat-top guitars and leaving behind the old sawed stump for a pulpit and the slatted pews and leaving behind the mosquitoes and all the other varmints that came up into those types of meetings that were outdoor. Leaving behind all of that, if we're not careful, we'll leave behind that same spirit of sacrifice and that same attitude towards the things of God and that same hunger and that same passion that we used to have. I'm going to tell you, we need to bring that in here today. I said, we need to bring that in here. Where's that person that'll cry out? Where's that person that'll say, God, I need you more than I need anything else. More than I need more fellowship, I need you, God. More than I need just to look good today, I got to get in contact with you. I got to press through whatever I got to press through. I got to pray through whatever I got to pray through. I got to worship my way out of whatever I got to worship my way out of. Amen. But whatever it takes, I'm here for the long haul, God, because I know you're still able. I know you still care. I know you still will. I know you want to for somebody that's hungry for you. I don't want to leave this place still struggling the same spiritual battles. Not when there's victory available in this house today. I don't want to leave here weighted down with the same burdens. Not when there's a burden lifter in this house today. Not when he gave me the promise to take my yoke upon you. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Come on, some of you are carrying unnecessary burdens here this morning. Why don't you cast your cares upon Jesus and realize that that's not just some elusive verse in the Bible, but that is really a promise from God that he cares for you. He cares enough to bear that burden along with you. He wants to help you this morning. He wants to answer some prayers for you this morning, but you can't get there if you're not desperate for it. You can't get there if you're not hungry for it. If you don't have an appetite that says, God, I'll reach beyond just the usual and the mundane and the norm and what I am just accustomed to doing, and reach out and reach a little further and receive something from you, God. Sometimes I wonder what we could see and what we could experience, what could be for us, amen, if we just was a little more hungry for God. Praise the Lord. He couldn't be ignored. It was never business as usual when he left the building. He came upon a certain crowd, and there was a man that had climbed up in a tree that was short of stature so that he could get a bird's eye view of what was going on. Bible said that he actually perceived that this was the path that Jesus was going to follow, and he went out ahead and he picked out a tree and he climbed up in that tree. That's anticipation, folks. That's somebody that's hungry for God. That's somebody said, I'm not just, if it will be, it will be. If it's going to happen, it's going to happen. If it's the will of God, that's what we fall on a lot of times. That's what we excuse ourselves. Well, if it's the will of God. Do you really think it's the will of God you continue to struggle with that same spiritual struggle year after year? Do you really? Are you going to try to convince me this morning that it's the will of God that you keep suffering with that same malady over and over and over again? Are you going to try to convince me that God wants you to live in a spiritual oppression? No, 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 no. Don't try to convince me. That's not the God that I serve. I'm serving a God that said we could be more than conquerors. I'm serving a God that told us that he could help us to live victoriously. Amen. That he would make us the head and not the tail. I'm talking about a God that said, I'm a God of blessing. Amen. And I'm going to bless you so that you can be a blessing, Abraham. I'm going to put favor on you. And even though we have to go through some things in life, we can have the favor of God that he'll bring us out. Yeah, that's right. Amen. What about those 10 lepers that said, we don't deserve it, but they cried out and they began to call on him. And the law said, you don't come near him. The law said that if you do, you'll become unclean. But you see, we're talking about the one that did not become unclean from touching the unclean. But when he touched something that was unclean, he had the power to change it. He had the power to change it from being unclean to clean. That's why when that little lady made her way through the crowd, the Bible tells us the law said that he couldn't even sit on the same piece of furniture with her, and or he would be pronounced unclean. But that little lady come through the crowd, and she reached up and she touched the hem of his garment, indicating to us that she must have been knocked down by the crowd in her frail, weakened condition. She reached up and just touched the hem of his garment, and he didn't become unclean because she touched him. But the Bible said immediately. I believe if somebody touched him today, that's just how quick God can move in this house. The Bible said immediately she felt within her that the fountain had been dried up. The issue that had lasted 12 years instantly, immediately had been taken care of. Can you believe God today that when you reach out to him, that whatever you've been fighting, whatever you've been struggling with, whatever you've been up against today, that he is able to immediately, right here in this service today, this will be the service. This will be the time. This is the appointed hour that God has chosen for that need to be taken care of, for that healing to come. If you believe that, you ought to get on your feet right now. You ought to praise the Lord for it. You ought to worship God and say, I'm believing you for a quick work right now. Come on, I thought there'd be more response than that. I thought somebody would get a little wild and reckless with their faith here this morning. I thought somebody would realize this may just be my opportunity. This is my door. Come on, let's give a proper response to a visitation from God here this morning. If you're hungry, God is able to do the work. Woo! Yes, yes, yes. God, I believe that you're a healer and you're able right now, even now, to do the work immediately in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Let me ask you, what would you do if the Lord healed you? What kind of response would you give if the Lord touched you right now? If the thing you'd been praying about and believing God for had already been done, what would you do? What kind of response would you give? And then I want to ask you a second question. What are you waiting on? Faith said, I got to step out. Faith says, I got to go further. Faith said, I can't stand here. Faith says, I've had enough. I'm coming out. I'm going to get it. I'm going to receive it. Oh, yeah. Hallelujah. Somebody said, well, I've been before. I've prayed before. I've trusted before. I've put it in the hands of God before. Amen. I've came to the altar before. Can I tell you, like the prophet told his servant when he was looking for the rain cloud, go again. Go again. What's it going to hurt? God's gave us a promise. You just keep going until he fulfills that promise. You just keep looking until it happens. Come on, a proper response. A proper response. A proper response. Hallelujah. Come on. This service today, God's looking for a proper response. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, God, I feel faith in this house. I feel the touch of God in this place. Don't let this thing die. Let's don't let this thing die. Let's don't let this thing die. Come on, let's believe God. Let's believe God in Jesus' name. God, immediately you said in your word. I'm praying for an immediate miracle right now in Jesus' name. Come on, let's press on just a little bit. Let's press on just a little bit. Let's press on just a little bit. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Oh, there'd be the tendency to kind of let this die down. But I feel the Holy Ghost. Oh, I'm drawn to that word immediately. Immediately. Doesn't matter how long it took to get to this moment. Doesn't matter how many prayers was prayed to lead to this point. Doesn't matter how long you've been faithful to get here. Immediately. Bible said that when Peter reached down and got that lame man by the right hand and lifted him up, immediately the Bible says that his ankle bones received strength. I believe God can work immediately here today. I believe he can do it right now. Lift up your voice to him. Let's praise him. Praise God. Kayadala Mahaya. Shotola Mahoriya Maya. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I want some of you ladies to gather around Sister Donna right here. I want you to pray with her. It's been tragedy that struck her family. And we want to pray right now the Lord would touch her. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, men. Bind together and pray one with another if you would, please. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Immediately. Praise God immediately.